trusting once again in the help of the Lord, we'll turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 17 and 18. The prophecy of Isaiah, the 41st chapter, verses 17 and 18. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 17 and 18. We are in a time when naturally or providentially we have by the mercies of God, and we have and that which is sufficient for our bodies. And although we would, of course, desire daily to return thanks unto the dear Lord for that provision that I believe he hath provided for each one of us. Many of our dear old forefathers, they had to pray constantly and continually for their daily bread and their daily water. But the Lord has so mercifully provided for us in a most extraordinary way. And although sometimes we may have these things so familiar, we are liable to forget them. But many a dear old saint have cried with natural hunger and thirst, and then the Lord hath heard them, and the God of Israel hath provided for their need. But my dear friends, I believe this refers more particularly to our spiritual needs. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit leads in such a way, under, of course, a variety of circumstances, when this soul comes to this condition of being poor and needy. You see, the two, whether in providence or in grace, they are almost indissolvably joined together. Because if that one was rich, then undoubtedly he could in a goodly measure supply his need. But when the dear Lord begins that work of grace in a poor sinner's heart, that soul begins to realize this in respect unto the eternal safety and security and the salvation of his never-dying soul. Because we know this, and I don't think there's hardly need for me to say it, but as it comes into mind, I will. We know that this world cannot help in one iota for the safety and the security of our eternal souls. and eternity, of course, will be impressed upon this soul, and they have a need, and whereby all their wisdom and whatever they may do or not do, and that will not supply that need of salvation. And so this poor soul is brought into these circumstances, into this way whereby they are poor and needy. The dear psalmist said this: "This poor man cried unto the Lord, and he heard my prayer." Now, dear friends, do we really know what it is to be poor, and also not only to be poor, but we know if we are to be saved and with our everlasting salvation, and we have a great need. But, dear friends, this soul will of course be led by that blessed Spirit and shown by his unerring light where this poverty can be relieved, and where this need shall be fully supplied. But in this condition, they are poor and they are needy, and because they seek water and there is none. You see, and this would be of course to those Middle East places, and this water would be more highly significant than it is to us, because water in those eastern places was of a vital necessity, and of course there were those times when it was in short and scarce supplies. So, my dear friends, this soul, spiritually, when that soul is brought to feel their poverty and need, but just listen, my dear friends, to what the Saviour says. How vastly different, my dear friends, is the gospel and what the Lord says. And then so often man comes to the conclusion, blessed are the poor and the needy, and they are blessed because they shall be filled, my dear friend, and they shall be filled with those everlasting riches, and their need will be met with that all sufficient need. And these all flow from a once crucified but now an exalted Christ. Now, and then you see, and this water in the scripture signifies several things. But I believe perhaps the greatest thing and water signifies perhaps maybe the Holy Spirit. Now I believe, dear friends, this is a real need to God's dear children. The grace, the work, the power, and the light of the Holy Spirit. Now, do you and I know something then of our felt poverty and need of the influence and the blessings of the Holy Spirit? For you see, in the text says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. You see, and this I understand, naturally, that when thirst is in its acute form, and the tongue swells to such a degree, and that and that they cannot speak a word. And dear friend, you and I may be in this very place, and whereby you feel that you cannot order your case or your cause aright before a holy God. Did not dear Job then, and he seemed to be troubled that he couldn't order his speech or his cause aright before his God. And of course, and this is under the influence, as it were, their tongue faded forth first. That spiritual tongue, as it were, is so swollen that it can only sigh. It can only groan, dear friends. But is the dear Lord then, will he not acknowledge the groan and the sigh? Look at what follows. I, the Lord, will hear them. Perhaps you have even this day, or perhaps in the days of the past week, and you have tried to, as it were, as we read together, produce your cause before the Lord and bring forth your strong reasons, but you have felt, as it were, silent before the dear. Do you know what it is, dear friend, to come? Venture, and I would say venture by faith to a throne of mercy and grace, knowing your poverty and your need, and when you come to that throne of mercy and grace, you have been silent. There has been silence, and you stood before the Lord in silence, knowing not how to speak or how to act. Poor soul, look at the extremities of poverty and need will bring a poor sinner. Well, and perhaps, and I do not think perhaps all of God's dear people may know such of these extremities, but I do believe, and that for the Lord, we must ever remember this: the Lord is a sovereign, and how he deals with each one of us. But I believe there will be a sense of our poverty and our need. And when we seek the sweet influence and the power and the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, we know that this water also sets forth and the gospel of the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now you and I may know this gospel very, very well in the letter of it, but you feel to be so poverty stricken, and you feel to be so needy of the doctrines of that gospel. And not only merely the doctrines of the gospel, but the application of that gospel. You know, I love that portion, and that the dear apostle, as it were, almost folds up the entire gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and where he says that He was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now undoubtedly, we all know this wonderful and most blessed truth, the very theme and center of the gospel. But dear friends, if you and I are living souls in Jerusalem, and we shall seek the application of that gospel to our souls, whereby we enter into the spirit of the gospel and also that saving grace that is declared in it. Now, you may feel at this time I can only perhaps go on those two aspects of this water that sets forth the Holy Spirit, which is so indissolubly joined, of course, to the gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now, our text says, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. Do you pant as the hart panteth after the water brooks? And can we say from time to time, Lord, our heart panteth after thee? And because you know that it is only the one and only remedy, and that shall relieve your poverty and supply and that need that you feel to be in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now then, secondly, very briefly, in this evening, when so very often, when the dear Lord or when the Holy Spirit declares a most wonderful work of God, He very often and then sets before us which the Lord will make known Himself unto this poor and this needy sinner who is seeking water. Now the first way that the Lord makes Himself known to this poor, needy sinner that's seeking water, and there is none. You see, they seem to feel that there is none, and there is to there. They come to this conclusion: there is none. Then He says, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. It may be, my dear friends, you feel your poor poverty of your prayers, although you have made your needs known in that prayer, you wonder whether they have been accepted in and through the person, blood and righteousness, the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether those prayers come from the indictings of the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord would help and comfort this poor and this needy sinner. He says, I, the Lord, will hear. Now, what does this set before us? The dear Lord, my dear friends, hath engaged Himself to hear the prayers of His dear people. What a comfort, my dear friends. Undoubtedly, you know something of the temptations and the insinuations of the awful adversary, whereby perhaps you have a case, you have something that has brought you into this condition of poverty and need, and the adversary hath suggested so many things unto you, whereby you have come to this conclusion, and that your poor prayers have never been heard. You see, sometimes the Lord sees and fit in His infinite wisdom to delay. And of course, the old adversary will always take advantages of God's delays, and he will present them as denials. But dear friend, if I'm speaking to one here this evening that may be troubled with unanswered prayers whereby the Lord has seemed to deny any answers, dear friends, he may delay to try our little faith. Faith, though the smallest, must surely be tried. You can perhaps go back, and perhaps in your life, and you perhaps ask the dear Lord to show you whether you have a true or a false faith. And the Lord have heard that prayer, my dear friends, and He's brought you into circumstances whereby now you feel your poverty and your need. And it seems as though, to your calculations, that he shut his ear to all your cries, and almost your tongue faileth for thirst. There seems to be nothing but discouragements. But dear friends, let us as enabled, rest assured of this point here. And that the Lord hath made so clear and definite to such characters that are poor and needy, I the Lord will hear. He may be delaying those answers for wise ends and to prove the reality of your faith, because faith will still continue to groan, to sigh, and to weep before the dear Lord, because you will come in that place where dear Jacob was. I cannot let thee go unless thou dost bless me. And the Lord blessed him there. And now the Lord says, I the Lord will hear them. That is, dear friends, what the dear Lord hath engaged himself to do for his poor and his needy sinners that are seeking water. Whatever that water may imply, you know your own case. You need, my dear friends, and that all important water of life, and whereby your thirst may be quenched. And it seems as though the dear Lord hath turned his deaf ear to all your cries. It could be, and I believe it is, he's proving the reality of your faith. Although you've been tempted to give up, can you not go back even to the hours of this day? And those same petitions perhaps have been, as it were, wrung from your heart. Lord, help me. Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. This soul is poor and is needy. Now, the Lord would make himself known. He hasn't answered that prayer, but he would make himself, I trust, known to you and to me this evening, and that I, the Lord, will hear them. What an encouragement, my dear friends. Because we do know this, and we would believe this, but of course there seems to be so much that comes up against that, and that we have to say, Lord, I would believe, help thou mine unbelief. We would believe that the Lord, you see, when it says, I the Lord will hear them, it doesn't mean that he will just merely hear that prayer. And implied in this word is that he will hear and he will act accordingly to his divine will and his good purpose toward this poor and this needy sinner. Very often, you and I, we hear something, and that's almost the finish of it. And we do not act on anything that we've heard. And sometimes I'm not speaking particularly spiritual. But the Lord, you see, when he says, I will hear them, he means he will hear and he will act according to his divine purpose and his good will toward his dear people, whereby as of course he goes on, I will open rivers in high places, and I'll only open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. So we can follow this, my dear friends, and that the Lord will hear them. And he will do those things, and he's made known his divine purpose as well. He will open up those rivers in high places. He will make that soul come into those fountains in the midst of the valleys. He will make that wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. But the second point that I just briefly want to bring before you this evening, how the dear Lord makes himself known to his poor and his needy people, is not only that he hath engaged himself to hear and them when they cry unto him, but also, my dear friends, he has now put forth a divine claim, mark it, a divine claim on his dear people, even on this poor and this needy sinner, for he says, I, the God of Israel. You see, he's the God of his dear people, and now he has put forth claim to this poor and this needy that seek water and where there is none. Not only as he engaged himself to hear their prayers, but he's put forth that claim that he is their God. Oh dear friend, what more can you and I even desire and then to know that he is our God, the God of Israel. And although we are poor and needy sinners, and we are the Israel of God, you see, and look how the dear Lord claims them, dear friends. He's claimed them by purchase and by price, because they were sold under sin, each one of them. They are poor and needy sinners, and they were sold under sin. Now the Lord, he hath bought them. Look what he speaks of unto his dear people. Ye are bought with a price. And will the dear Lord then have that price of none effect? He now lays claim, although these poor and these needy people are almost, and I stress the almost, ready to perish, and because they are in the advanced stages of thirst, and where their tongue faileth them, where it's swollen, but the Lord looks on this poor sinner. Look at that child in Ezekiel, and that was polluted in its own blood. I passed by, and I said to this one, live. And this time was a time of love. Here's a time of love, my dear friends. And when the God of love lays claim to his dear people in this most remarkable way, where he says, I am thy God. I am the God of Israel. And if he is the God of Israel, he will have his subjects. We could not think of a king without subjects. We could not think of a shepherd with no sheep. And now you see the dear Lord makes himself known to these poor and needy people, I, the God of Israel. And what does he follow up with, dear friends? Something that I believe exercises God's dear children on various occasions at a great length, because we very often feel and that the Lord hath forsaken us. We know this, and that we are so worthy to be forsaken, and we are unworthy to be not forsaken, my dear friends. But here the dear Lord says, I will not forsake them. Dear friend, are you and I going to disbelieve what the dear Lord, in his infinite love and mercy and grace, hath made known in his precious word, when he lays claim to all of his dear people, though they are amongst the poor and the needy, and then follows that claim by this, and that he will not forsake them, and because he hath bought them with that tremendous price, a price of his own heart's blood, and he's purchased them, my dear friends, and he's gone forth now to prepare that glorious inheritance, whereby they shall come in that time, and they shall be with him forever. Now, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I do trust, dear friend, and that when circumstances, as they so often appear to you and I, sometimes in providence, and more particularly perhaps in the way of grace, where we may feel that we have been forgotten and forsaken of the Lord. Zion said this. Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken us." And how did the Lord deal with this case? Can a woman forsake her sucking child? Can that woman forsake? Yea, she may forsake. There are many circumstances where that woman may forsake that child, but I will never forsake thee. Listen, thou art engraved on the palms of mine hand, and thy walls, the walls of salvation, are continually before you. Those walls that the enemy does all he can to break down and to come through and destroy the soul. But those walls, not only are they engraved on the palms of his hand, but those walls are continually before him. Dear friends, the Lord, then, can we, as it were, almost tremblingly say, our God will not forsake us. I love that portion, you know, where the dear man of God, Moses, and you know how that dear man of God had so much to do with his God, and he comes down now to the almost the last days of his life. For he says, I am 120 years old this day, can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And he speaks to Joshua, and he speaks to the children of Israel, almost the last words that he speaks, and you know the last words are very valuable, my dear friends, and especially when it's one of God's dear servants, and the servant of the Lord Moses, he says to Israel, and not only under the Old Testament but the New Testament as well, he says, be strong and of a good courage, fear not nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, dear friends, are we going to dispute that dying testimony of one of God's eminent servants, and who had such a checkered path? He will not fail thee nor forsake. The Lord grant that living faith. But then he said, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I have to be very brief. We cannot come into any detail in this second verse. But if we just look at very briefly one or two incidences where the children of Israel on that pilgrimage journey through the wilderness, they knew what it was to come into that place of thirst or want of water. And of course, there were several incidences. One was when they got to that Meribah, and they saw that water. When they got there, of course, and they found that that water was undrinkable. It was bitter. What did the Lord do, my dear friends? He showed Moses a tree. That tree was already there, and he showed Moses this tree, and he told Moses to cast that tree into the water, and those waters were made sweet. Now, dear friends, this is what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to show us that tree of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you may have come to that place of bitter waters, and that if the Lord, as it were, is cast into those bitter waters will be made sweet. And then secondly, we read of when the children of Israel and come into that place where they thirsted for water, the Lord spake to Moses and says, take your rod and stand before me, before the rock. And Moses, of course, went before that rock, and he smote that rock. He wasn't told to smote it, but he smote that rock, and these waters, and they flowed from that rock. The psalmist says this: there is a river, and that maketh the streams whereof maketh the city of our God glad. That river, my dear friends, of his love. And when Moses, as the law, as it were, the rod fell upon the dear Lord, and those waters of salvation flowed from him. And then just thirdly, my dear friends, Zacharias speaks of a fountain opened for the house of Jacob and the inhabitants of Israel. And that verse ends like this: for all sin and uncleanness. And then just another brief illustration where they bound that strong man, Samson, and they bound them with new cords. The Philistines came upon him, and they shouted at him. He broke these cords, and those cords flew asunder. And very briefly, he found the jawbone of an ass, and he slew 1,000 of those Philistines. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. after he had slain those thousand of the Philistines, he come to this point and where he felt he should die of thirst. You see, this strong man, he was in need, my dear friends, of water. You and I will know something of our need of this water. Samson need, and that the Lord opened that hollow in the jaw, and there was that water that he drank, and he was revived again. Now the Lord says, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and dry land springs of water. As he sets before us his eternal purposes spiritually, whereby and they flow from this fountain of living waters. Just one more thought. You will find that the last sermon, public sermon, that the Lord Jesus preached was on this living water, in that great day, it was the 7th of John, the 8th of John. It was his last public sermon that he preached to the people. Of course, he preached to his disciples after this, but it was his last public sermon, where he declared that he was that fountain of living waters, and that Holy Spirit would be in his dear people as that fountain of living waters. Now, you will also find, my dear friends, almost the last sweet promise in the scriptures is concerning living waters. And so we know, dear friends, that the Lord knows how needful these waters are. And he said, I will open. He's opened them. He's opened them in those high places. And he's opened those fountains in the midst of the valley. Oh, what a mercy. These high mountain experiences, and also the valley experiences, and that living water, my dear friends, is there to sustain and to revive and to quicken and the God's dear people, setting forth and the sweet influence and unction of the Holy Spirit. That wilderness that where everything may seem to be dried up, your poor religion may seem to be dried up this evening, but what will the Lord do? He will make that dried up wilderness a pool of water, and he will make that dry land springs of water. I, the Lord, will hear them. I and the God of Israel will not forsake them. But I have to leave it there. May the Lord and his blessing. Amen.
This evening by singing hymn number 932 to the tune Olivet 681. Hymn number 932. See, from Zion's sacred mountain, streams of living water flow. God has opened there a fountain that supplies the plains below. They are blessed who its sovereign virtues know. Hymn number 932.
Fellowship and communion of God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with us now and forever and ever. Amen.
through by singing hymn number 1061 to the tune Rest 211. Hymn number 1061. Lord, I believe a rest remains to all thy people known, a rest where pure enjoyment reigns, and thou art loved alone. Oh, that I now the rest might know, believe and enter in. Dear Saviour, now the power bestow, and let me cease from sin. Hymn number 1061.